It's a privilege for us to be here. First of all, to introduce who I am, my name's George Hicks. I was born in Rhode Island, but grew up in Maine. When I was 13, my folks moved to Maine, up near Sugarloaf, so I grew up in the woods of Maine. But the Lord called us after going to Bible school. I pastored a church in Wellington, Maine, for 4 years. Then I was interim pastor of a church in Moncton, New Brunswick. And then the Lord called us to Brazil, where we served in Brazil for almost 40 years. And while there, we worked in church planting. God used us to establish at least one church and help in other churches. And then I became director of our Bible college. And pray for us. And December 2nd, we'll be going back to Brazil for 3 weeks, actually. The Bible school is celebrating its 75th anniversary. And they've asked me to come back and participate in this and participate in the graduation. The school year in Brazil is from January to December, where here in the U.S. it's from September to June. And so graduation is always the first week of December. And so the 7th of December is graduation. And it's a privilege to see how God works in other countries. In 2010, we retired from our missionary service in Brazil and came back to the U.S. And then I was asked to take over as director of Interchurch after Nate Muir passed away. And so we served in that ministry for 2 years until Ann had serious surgery. And so I stepped down in order to take care of her during her time of recovery. So Interchurch Ministries of New England. In 1979, a group of retired pastors and lay preachers got together. They had a burden for helping small local churches with their needs. The result was the foundation of Interchurch Ministries. They discovered that there were many small, struggling churches without a pastor that didn't know where to turn for direction and leadership. And you know, that's very important. The church that I first pastored in Maine, Wellington, Maine, was a church that originally, years back, was a Presbyterian church. Then it closed, and for years it just sat there, and it was for sale, and this guy was going to buy it to build a garage. He was a trucker, a truck pole, and another lay pastor found out about it and went and bought it and opened the church. And today it's a church, it's a small church in a very rural area. Wellington, Maine, it's one of those crossroads. If you blink when you come to the crossroads, you miss the whole thing. But there are many churches like that in Maine that are struggling and that need a pastor. What they found was local believers didn't know where to turn to find a pastor or even pulpit supply. And so this is a ministry that Interchurch Ministry supplies. Many church buildings were either abandoned and in great disrepair. There it goes. Many small churches closed, leaving the gospel witness for many miles. In order to go to church, they'd have to go long distances. For example, there's one church that I was in 2 weeks ago, in Topsfield, Maine. They have a nice building. We had only, I think it was 5 or 6 people. Yeah. And the nearest church to them is over 20 miles. And what happens when you have to drive 20 miles to go to church and the roads aren't the best in the wintertime? Many times you don't go. You get out of the habit. Others just stop going to church. When they did go to church, because of the distance, they weren't able to get involved. And usually, they would only go to a morning service. If there was an evening service or prayer meeting, you know, they had to travel at night on bad roads, long distance, and they just didn't go anymore. Interchurch Ministries was organized with a board of directors made up of pastors and lay leaders. As a 501c3 nonprofit tax-exempt organization, just like churches. And so we organized just like a church so that we could be a nonprofit organization, receive donations, give tax-deductible receipts, and be able to continue the ministry. And all the funds go back into the ministry. The director receives, I think, don't even know if we can call it a salary. He receives a small help in order to be able to cover his expenses and administrate the mission. We offer supply speakers. We have a list of lay leaders and retired pastors that are available to speak in different churches. Sometimes we have so many going out that it's hard to find someone to cover everything. We act as a broker between churches needing a pastor and pastors looking for a church. Pastors looking for a church send their resume into us, and then when a church contacts us saying they need a pastor, we send them a copy of the resumes, and we don't say to them, well, this is a good pastor for you, you take this pastor. No. We send them a resume and they do the studying and deciding whether they are a fit or not. We don't interfere in the internal affairs of the church. We just are there available to help when asked. We're also available for pastoral and church counseling. If a church is finding some difficulty in the area, don't know where to turn, they can call on us and we'll try to find someone that can help them with their need. Pastors sometimes need someone just to talk to. I know when I was in my first church, there was a pastor that I would go to, and everybody called him the pastor's pastor. Someone you can talk to. And many times that's very important for your pastor. You know, the pastor carries burdens that you can't share with other people in the church. He carries the burdens of a lot of you. And sometimes he just needs someone to talk to, a sounding board, and someone that he can talk to in confidence. And this helps a lot. I don't know if I'm hitting it too hard or not hard enough. We offer guidance to churches in calling a pastor. We have offered training seminars for both pastors and church leaders. I have a seminar that I have given in many different churches, both in Brazil and here in the U.S. We can offer the seminars as a group for people to come to, or we can go to these churches and give these seminars in the church. Help with ordinations when the church needs to do an ordination of a pastor they've called. We can help with that because many churches don't know how to go about it. We believe that the church does the ordination, that an organization doesn't, that the responsibility of ordination is the church. There are many more ministries that we can do. On the table in the foyer is a flyer like this that explains about the ministries of interchurch ministries. We have an annual corn roast at Herman Baptist Church. Has been there because they have good facilities for it in Herman, Maine. Every September, the first Monday in September every year. And we also have, with the corn roast, it starts out with a concert. We have different people come to present a musical concert, and then we end up with a corn roast. Corn, hot dogs, hamburgers, and all the fixings and everything you can imagine to go with it. It's free. We take up a free will offering, but it's free for everybody that would like to come. If there's any other needs that a church has, we're glad to be able to help out where we can. I guess that's going to be the end. There we go. We'll go to any church that will let us freely preach the Word of God. You know, I was invited to come to a... Dexter, Maine once. It was a Methodist church. They were trying to reorganize, and they asked me to come, and I sent a couple of speakers, and afterwards they said to me, you know, we're a liberal church, and you send evangelical speakers to us. And I said, well, all we do is, when we go to a church, is preach the Word of God. And so they got the Word of God. And finally they found one of their, a pastor, that was liberal the way they wanted it. But we tried to help them by sending the gospel to them. Inner Church is supported by the free will offerings of God's people and churches, especially around Maine and New England. Thank you for the opportunity to present the work of Inner Church Ministries. Afterwards, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to talk with you. And I'm open to any kind of questions. Shall we turn to the Word of God? Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 18. Do you have your Bibles? Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and followed their father, and followed him. I'm sorry, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we just pray that this morning your Holy Spirit will take your word and apply it to our hearts, work in our lives, draw us to yourself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is calling. Here we find he's calling his first four disciples. Do you think anything happens by accident with Jesus? Nothing happens by accident with Jesus. I don't believe anything happens by accident in the life of a Christian. As we walk with the Lord is in control. That doesn't mean that we'll always understand what the Lord is doing in our lives. But as we trust Him, we'll find that what He is doing is best. But Jesus is calling. And we find, first of all, that Jesus calls busy people. Have you ever noticed, as you look around in the church, that the people who are most active are usually people that are very busy? It's usually not people that are sitting around idle. It's people that are very active. And this was the case here with Simon and Andrew, James and John. In verse 18, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishing. He found two brothers that were fishing. Now, as we read the Word of God, it would appear that they were commercial fishing. That they fished with nets, they gathered their fish, they had a home industry, they worked with their father, and they sold their fish. And when Jesus saw them, he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The same thing we find with James and John. He said in verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father. They were mending their nets. Again, commercial fishermen. People who were busy, hard workers. God calls people that are willing to work. Because serving God is work. It's not easy work. He doesn't call those that are sitting around waiting. I remember when I was in Bible school, after graduating from Bible school, there was a young lady who felt God wanted to use her. But she graduated from Bible school, didn't know what God wanted her to do. So she went to her home church, waiting for God to call her and show her what he wanted her to do. The pastor asked her, he said, you know, the lady that plays the piano is having some health issues, and we know you play the piano. Could you play the piano for our church? She said, well, I can't commit to do it every Sunday, but I can do it this Sunday, because I'm waiting for God to show me what he wants me to do. And so after a few weeks, the pastor says, you know, one of our Sunday school teachers is going to Florida for the winter. And would you be able to take over her Sunday school class while she's gone? She said, well, no, I can't do that because I'm waiting for God to show me what he wants me to do. A few months later, the child evangelism fellowship missionary in the area needed someone to work with her and knew that she was qualified and came and asked her, says, you know, we have a need with child evangelism fellowship. Could you come and work with us and help us out? She said, well, I can't do that because I'm waiting for God to show me what he wants me to do. Do you suppose God was trying to show her what he wanted her to do? We can't sit around and wait for some great light or some great revelation. God brings opportunities into our lives. And as the opportunities come, we need to buy them up. And as we buy up the opportunities that come along, we'll see God do great things. Things that we couldn't even imagine. But also, God calls those that have a heart ready. He calls repentant sinners. Seeking sinners. Those that recognize that they are sinners and that they need God's forgiveness. And those that have sought the Lord and that are born again, that know Christ as their own personal Savior. Those that realize that they can't serve the Lord in their own strength. In the Gospel of John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 35, we read, again the next day, John, speaking of John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Now, who are these disciples of John? We'll see in just a little bit. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said unto them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour, or probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Notice who it was. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And so we find something interesting about Simon, Peter, and Andrew. Before Jesus called them to follow him and become fishers of men, they were already followers of John the Baptist. They had already been baptized unto repentance. They already had recognized that sinners in need of a Savior. And they were already seeking to follow the Lord. And so Jesus not only is looking for busy people, but he's looking for those whose hearts are ready, repentant sinners. He's also looking for those that are willing to follow. You know, one of the big problems in some of the small churches that we visit is that everybody wants to be the chief. Everybody wants to call the shots instead of being followers. But something interesting we find back in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I can find it in my own Bible here. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Does that describe us sometimes? We have such busy lives. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with so much to do. You know, when we retired, I had so many things that I had always wanted to do And I find that I don't have time to do them all. I'm busier now than I ever was. You know, I love to hunt. And this fall, getting ready to go to Brazil and tying up loose ends, I haven't had time to go hunting once. And it's almost the end of the middle of hunting season. The Lord knows. He says, "Come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." We need to take our yoke, his yoke, upon us. You know, I grew up, I worked in the woods with my father. When I was 13, I started driving horse. You know, we used to use horses in the woods. Don't use them anymore. But you had to have a good harness and a good collar on the horse in order for a horse to work all day. And what that means is we're harnessed, we're under the control of someone else. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," he says, "Allow me to guide you. Allow me to control your life. Follow me." Why? Because my burden is light. My burden is light. It doesn't mean that serving the Lord is always going to be easy. Sometimes it's pretty heavy. I'm sure your pastor can attest to that. But because the Lord is the one that is guiding us, that we're following, we find that we can do things that we never thought we could do. I can tell you, serving the Lord in Brazil, the Lord stretched me to do things I never imagined to do. I was a shy country boy brought up in the woods of Maine. To get up in front of a church with this many people when I was young was impossible. My pastor tried to get me to lead the music in the church. We had about 35, 40 people. And I'm glad we had a big oak pulpit, twice the size of this one. That's all that held me up, because my legs were like jelly. And I always told people, I could never live in the tropics, because when it's cold, you can put more clothes on. When it's hot, there are only so many clothes you can take off, and it's still hot. I could never live in a big city. What did the Lord do? Placed us 3 degrees south of the equator in a city of 3 million people. Does God have humor? But God knows what he's doing. And God blesses. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." But he's also looking for people that are willing to change. Notice what he says here in Matthew chapter 4. "Follow me and I will make..." few fishes of men. He doesn't say, follow me because you're already fishes of men. He says, I'll make you what I want you to be. Why is that? I believe it's because God chooses those that are willing to follow, that aren't full of themselves, that are willing for the Lord to use them, and in the end will glorify Him. I can tell you over the years we spent in Brazil, it isn't what I did, it's what the Lord did through me. Many times as I look back, I told the Lord, I can't do that. The Lord says, you're going to. I said, but I can't. I don't know how. The Lord says, you're going to. And I did, and God bless. Not because of me, but because of Him. And that's what the Lord is looking for. In 1 Corinthians, He tells us He's looking for the foolish things of the world. The things that don't have, those that don't have a good reputation. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. Not those that have a bad reputation, but those that have no special reputation. He's looking for those that He can mold and turn into a vessel that He can use for His glory. In Philippians, find it here, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking upon him the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. Notice, he, Jesus, was God, but he humbled himself, became a bondservant, became a man. He found verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Imagine God coming to this earth, dying for our sins, that we might have forgiveness of sins. But as a result, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And as we serve him, we confess that he is Lord, that what we do is in his name and to his glory. Because only him, he deserves the glory. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he tells us, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. If we fill our lives and our hearts with these things, God will bless us. And we'll be able to see God do great things in our lives. Jesus is calling. Just as Jesus, while he was here on this earth, never did his own will, but did the will of God the Father. He's looking for people to follow him, to do his will, to glorify the name of Jesus here on this earth. Are you one of those people? Is God calling you right where you are to serve him? Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to take his yoke upon you? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love. We thank you that your yoke is light and your burden is light. And we thank you that you want to guide us and direct us and glorify yourself through us. And Lord, we just pray that you'd make us willing to do that. For we ask it in Jesus' name.